Hey, it's the Deer Wizard, host of North American Deer Talk. I want to tell you about a great new advertising and research platform that we've developed for you, CWDbreeding.com. You know, as the deer industry continues to mature and develop around chronic wasting disease and its known genetic heritability, resources like CWDbreeding.com become essential tools for deer managers across the country making decisions about their herds. I really wanted a platform that excelled at hosting GBV and codon markers in a filterable and searchable manner, but I also wanted to have high quality pictures, videos, ages, scores, NADAR numbers, and a whole host of other information to go along with that. This database puts everything in one easy to find location and allows you to access the industry's greatest genetic resources. I look forward to seeing all the great bucks that people have to offer in one easy to find location, CWDbreeding.com. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of North American Deer Talk. I am here at the Top 30, sitting with my buddy, Dan Jennings. Dan, what's going on?
Oh, not a whole lot. Made the trip out here. Haven't been here since 2006, yeah. I think, was the last time I was at a top 30. So
been a while.
Yeah, it's good to see.
I can't do math right now. That's like 14 years.
It's a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, to see where the deer industry was and where it's at and, you know, seeing a lot of the antlers in person versus pictures that we see throughout the summer, it's good. And to see everybody and say hi, it's nice to get together once in a while.
It's always the, like, every time I come out to an event, you know, it's a great opportunity to like just meet up with old friends and like instead of picking up the phone and kind of feeling a little disconnected, but you're talking to somebody, you get to sit down like we are now and,
yeah,
you know, just catch up and see how everybody's doing.
Yeah, it's nice to see, you know, the antlers and touch them and feel them and hold them. And it's fun to participate in the games and maybe buy a lot or two or, you know, make a deal with a guy in person versus over the phone or email. So it's a...
I think one of the things you touched on it was that being able to physically see antlers and touch them instead of pictures, like for me, is a big thing. There's so many nice pictures out there, and you just always wonder, like, man, I wonder what those antlers look like. And some, like, yeah, I'm sure you've done it. Like sometimes you can be a little disappointed in what you see, and then sometimes you show up and you're like, where was that deer? Like I totally glazed over the picture and I didn't give it any credit, and then you see the antlers and like changes everything.
Yeah, I mean some photos, you know, help or hurt, and when you see something in person that, you know, you can pick it up and feel the weight of the of the real antlers, you know, it makes a big difference, you know, and it's exciting, you know, it's some of the stuff you see is like, wow, like is that even possible? And then when you hold them in your hands, it just solidifies that, and it's pretty exciting.
Yeah. We before Dan and I sat down here, I swung over to John Irvin's booth and snagged one of his sets of antlers. We got Skyrocket at 2, so hopefully John doesn't bust in on us and request his antlers back. I think we'll be okay, but anyway, that's a heck of a 2-year-old there. I wouldn't mind having a few of those, but you get to get your hands on these and kind of see them up close. Really, really cool.
Well, it's kind of crazy too. You know, I haven't been back in a while. I mean, back in the day, you know, 200-inch deer were, you know, like the holy grail, and now, you know, we've progressed so far, and you know, 200-inch deer are pretty normal. Everybody's got them, so it's it's pretty cool. You know, I'm glad you grabbed a small set.
Yeah. Yeah, that small set. What I think's really interesting.
You. I mean, that's insane. I mean, that's you know, 10 years, 15 years ago, I mean, I wouldn't have dreamt of having anything like that. And now it's a reality.
Yep.
So it's pretty cool.
Last time I had you on the show, we talked about all sorts of stuff. And I told the listeners and viewers that I'd post up a picture of you at the first Top 30 we were at, which was in 2005.
With Thunder.
Young Dan holding Thunder. So yeah, I think we'll we'll maybe get another picture here at this event.
Yep.
Of one of the bucks here, and we'll get that for the cover photo.
I showed that photo to Eddie today.
Did you?
I said, Eddie, this was my first top 30.
Oh, wow.
He says, that's thunder.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's thunder.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. You know, you get to revisit with some of these guys that you really just don't get the opportunity to see unless you're doing farm tours,
right?
Or you know, at these events.
Yeah, so, for sure.
I'm having a great time. Looking forward to seeing what the sale brings today.
Yeah, it's I always really like the top 30 because you had this nice collection of breeders from across the country. And the auction organizers always did a pretty good job kind of pulling select animals. And it's neat going through the book. I was always excited to go through the book and find some stuff. When you're in the auction room, it's a different feel, though.
Yeah.
Can you speak to that? I think you might have bought something yesterday.
I did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What'd you know, end up getting?
I bought a deer off of Josie, yep, Bork holder, yep, that he had. And, I really wasn't planning to buy anything.
Mm-hmm.
And just kind of went through the book 100 times, probably looked at that deer 100 times and was like, oh, that's a nice deer. It's cool breeding.
Yeah.
And then, got sucked into the auction ether and, now I'm an owner.
Yeah, that's cool. When you, like, it's not to say that you couldn't, like, they have online bidding for the auction.
Yep.
But there's certainly something about being in the room and being a participant in the sale.
Yeah, I mean, it's exciting. You know, it's super exciting to be here. And when you talk to folks before the sale and talk about their deer, and it kind of gets you a little bit more excited. And I went over there and talked to them, you know, what do you think about this deer? Et cetera, et cetera. And we got talking about it and my excitement built. And leading all the way up to it, I was like, boy, I wonder what it's going to go for. And, you know, it ended up being in a price range that I felt comfortable with.
Perfect.
We ended up pulling the trigger on that. And so now, we'll see how we can implement that into our program. Real typical genetics, you know, I'm trying to breed for more of the typical framey long times. I really like long times, and that doe was out of that thermal image buck, and
he's just awesome. I like him.
Yeah, you know, long times, real pretty deer. I like the breeders. I like the people.
Yeah,
and so I feel pretty darn good about it.
Yeah, that's great. We both have interesting stories, kind of getting here exactly, but I know you were down in Texas at Dallas Safari Club.
Yeah,
want to talk about that a little bit? How was that?
Dallas Safari Club is exciting. You know, it's another place you get to see things that you just don't normally see. People from all over the world, come into one area, and you get to see some new or some familiar faces along with new faces. And this was our second year being an exhibitor at Dallas Safari Club, and our donation auction, did better than the year before. Our relationships are getting better, and the hunting market is just so strong right now. That probably helped my excitement coming into an event like this.
Right. I know, like, when you think about, like, I don't know anybody that's in this room that doesn't hunt, right? Like, hunting's just the backbone of, like, all it is that we do and, like, a lot of things we live for. But it's the other side of our industry. Like, we're trying to raise these animals so we can stock these genetics to manage hunting properties. Like, that's what we do.
Yeah.
And I think Safari Club's a big piece of that. I think it's important.
Safari Club's huge. You know, they're also, you know, they have the same interests as us, right? They want to keep the hunting and the conservation and the, you know, and everything going. So, I mean, we're directly aligned with the hunting market. I mean, our industry really is not much without the hunting industry. So, mm-hmm, to see how strong the hunting industry is right now and the amount of people that want to hunt, new people that are getting into hunting, people that are using, you know, our hunt ranches and you know, these experiences to share with their family, coworkers, employees, and stuff like that. It's pretty cool. So, you know, seeing how strong that is, really helps out with how strong I think our industry as deer producers will be.
You said it was your second year at the show. What was maybe one takeaway that you had that was perhaps different than last year?
Well, boy, that's a good question.
That's why I asked it.
Yeah, I mean, I think going into it the first year, you're nervous. You don't really know what to expect. You don't know how you're going to be, received. You don't know. It's a big commitment. Not only financially, but time. It's, for me, coming from New York, it's a 27-hour drive one way. So you got a bunch invested. You don't know how it's going to go. Our first year was nerve-wracking, and we did okay. This year, I feel like we did just as good, if not a little bit better, and being a little bit more recognized in the organization was pretty cool. So it's one of those things, a lot of those exhibitors have been there for 20 or 30 years, some more. And so we're trying to, create our customer base and participate with, align ourselves with, to be in a Safari Club or Dallas Safari Club or one of those shows, you're one of the top in the world.
Gotcha. So when you go down there, you're going down for Bat and Kill Ranch.
Yep.
Just give us a little overview of what Bat and Kill Ranch is.
So we're in upstate New York, about an hour north of Albany, on the Vermont border. Bat and Kill, there's a lot of Texas ranches. Not a whole lot of people think about New York when they think about, big whitetail hunting. But our ranch, we're just under 1,000 acres. The ranch is just, it's really beautiful, especially in the fall, right around fall foliage. You're hunting, you got brisk mornings, you got some, warmer during the day. Mm-hmm. You got all the leaf, changes in colors. We're right close to the Bat and Kill River, so we've got, world-renowned fishing there and everything. So it's kind of cool to be at a Dallas Safari Club and give a new area for some of these customers. We get a lot of people that walk by New York.
Yeah.
They've never thought about hunting in New York. And when the folks do come, everyone thinks New York City, right?
Sure.
But it's beautiful land. I think we've got great deer. We have a lot of fun. We've got a good group of guys, very comfortable setting. We've been received well, and hopefully we can build on that in the years to come. And hopefully we can slightly increase the amount of hunts we do.
Gotcha.
We've got a little bit of availability, so to say.
That's awesome. And I know you've been working on your genetics in there, and that's a big part of what you do, in addition to kind of shaping that land to be whitetail habitat.
We've done a lot of land.
Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, we try to.
I know it's something you like. I know you're into it.
I like farming.
Yes.
Right? I mean, I like agriculture and, being able to take some of the ground and, have some soybeans and some corn and some alfalfa and get some of these food plots and hay fields. I mean, we do, a small hay operation. So being able to improve our ground is not only, it's beneficial for everything. And it makes a really, really fun hunting setting, with the big mountains and having some tillable ground. Just makes for, we got some good, acorns and hickory, and so we have a nice mixture. And then, I like the big body deer.
Sure.
We focused on the northern genetics. When guys come up and, we let them grab a hold of those antlers, and then they go to start dragging it, and there's 250, 300 pounds behind them. They got their money's worth.
Yeah, there's no ground shrinkage. That's great. That's a good takeaway. When your hunters come up, if they're not used to hunting in the Northeast like that, what are some of the comments that you get from them about just the property and the land and the deer and stuff like that?
Some of the folks just have this thought in their mind that it has a certain look to it. We go up to, we got an area we call the Upper Shooting Gallery where you can just, it's just like a panoramic view of the Green Mountains in Vermont. And a lot of folks are just like, wow, like it's absolutely beautiful. So being able to hunt there, but being able to see the beauty in the landscape, it's pretty cool.
That's awesome. You got a website for the ranch? What is that?
Yeah, you can just go to newyorkhunts.com.
Okay.
Or battenkillfarms.com.
That's a great website, newyorkhunts.com.
Yeah, not bad, right?
Yeah, that's a good one. I wish I had that one.
Well, you can't.
No, I know. Obviously not. So newyorkhunts.com or?
battenkillfarms.com.
Battenkillfarms. Cool. I appreciate you coming on and talking with me today.
Yeah, well, I'm excited to be here and it's good to see you again.
Absolutely.
We're going to do a little bit of traveling on the way home.
We are.
So who knows what we're going to talk about then.
Yeah, sure. Thanks again.
No problem.
With that, stay tuned for another episode of North American Deer Talk.